Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Each day, we have the opportunity to shift the ground beneath the feet of others in a wide variety of ways. As we've discussed many times on this podcast, we are all leaders, and we have the opportunity each day to impact the world of others as well as ourselves. While it is crucial for us to go through our days with a leadership and optimistic mindset, it is even more important to practice mindfulness. And on this episode, I want to talk about the power of the nudge. The nudge is a subtle push in a direction that allows you choice. Years ago, I read a book called Nudge by Thaler and Sunstein, and it really made me reflect on my ability to both be influenced and to be an influencer. While the text is good and demonstrates a ton of ways that we are influenced and how often our mind is impacted by others, the behavioral science behind influence is really what I want to explore today. And more importantly, how, when someone you respect and admire suggests you do something, well, the ways that that can seed within you, gnaw at you, or spark you to action. In general, most people demonstrate confidence of some level in nature. However, we all are looking for reinforcement and the recognition that we are both capable and needed. What I mean by this is simply that most of us are motivated when someone suggests we're good at something or they ask us for support because they know we're able to supply that level of help. Now, most of us are going through our life set in a pattern that we are working hard to maintain, a pattern to which we like to subscribe. Some of us have goals in mind for what we would like to do or achieve. Some of us live to work and others work to live. But in the end, there are significant life influences that we are not always cognizant of that are taking place all around us. Little nudges. That as leaders, we need to recognize how powerfully we can impact someone's life with a simple statement. Now, let me give you a couple examples of nudges that we all experience every single day. When you go shopping or you go out, you'll hear things like, hey, it's only 29 cents to get a large. Would you like to add a cookie for 99 cents? Would you like to round up your purchase to make a donation to blah, 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 blah? Some of us are hearing this, and you might be like my wife and say yes to every one of those nudges because there's no conflict and you want to know that the person in front of you likes you. And that's what the science shows. Sure, I'll do this so that the person in front of me has a positive impression of me. So, yep, I'll take the super duper grande venti plus coffee. Or, I'll take the cookie. Or, yep, of course I'll round up. Then there are people who just say no and won't be nudged unless it fits into their needs. As leaders, we have to recognize that both types of nudges and people exist, and that our ability to influence is ultimately the choice of the person in front of us. And that is why, at the start, I mentioned that nudging can be done for good or bad reasons. But as always, let's focus on the good. You see, if you really think about it, most of the decisions you've made in your life, the choices you've made, the way you are, it's all a result of the nudges of others. Think about your career. You did not make that decision in a vacuum. Someone told you you'd be good at whatever, or maybe someone said you could never be a whatever, and you dedicated your life to proving them wrong. We convince ourselves of all types of things based upon the nudges in our life. As always, I have a quick story to help you illustrate this because I have been nudged plenty in my life. Now, back in the fall of 1988, I was a senior in high school. I drove a 1982 yellow Ford Escort station wagon that my mom bought for me for $500. I had a Yamaha Raz moped. I had used sun-in in my hair and had blonde hair on the top and brown hair shaved on the sides with triangular sideburns. I wanted to be kind of a micro version of Andre Agassi. I worked at McDonald's. I was obsessed with new wave music like Depeche Mode, The Smiths, In Excess, and New Order. But I also loved a lot of other things like rap and hip-hop and R&B, and I wore Drakkar cologne on even days of the week and polo on the odd days of the week, and I was completely into the presidential election between Michael Dukakis and George H.W. Bush. Now, I'm guessing that any of you who are in your late 40s or early 50s, like friends of mine or my age, you can relate. If not, well, Google right now everything I just said and have a good laugh at my expense. All of those things were done by me at 17 years of age because of influences in my life. Now, the one I want to talk about isn't my fashion, but the presidential election. I was all in on the election that year as a result of a few factors. First, no one, and I mean no one in my high school cared about the presidential election or politics, and that struck me. Okay, maybe there are a few people, but I don't remember them. And the reason it was so important to me was because of my high school history teachers. By my senior year, I had met all the credit requirements for graduation, or at least I was on track, so I got to pick the extra credits that I needed and the courses that I wanted to take. And I chose courses a little outside of the norm. So you know what I did? I took two Phi Eds each semester, advanced public speaking, which, by the way, I got a C minus in, and four history courses throughout the year. I guess I was a gym rat and a history nerd. As a result, I was in classes with people that studied history and lived for current events. Those people were my teachers, and they were legends like Deb Dasow and Kelly Green, John Tauscher, and Joanne Stade. All of them very influential and one instrumental. Later in life, when I couldn't figure out what to be, I recalled the joy of those men and women in that department and thought, I should do that. I mean, I like kids, I like social studies, and because at that point in my life I was already ending the second year of, well, the second freshman year in college, well, I also clearly liked school. Anyway, my teachers both saw and heard my passion for politics. I guess I acted like Alex P. Keaton, but had hair like a rebellious tennis player or the lead singer of the Flock of Seagulls. I would wear buttons for my favorite candidate on my shirt. I had a lawn sign in the back of my station wagon, and I even wore t-shirts to parties on weekends where we drank soda and played bingo. At least that's what I tell my kids. The nudge. Well, that came in the spring of my senior year when the American Legion sponsored something called Youth in Government Day. My teachers pulled me into the social studies office on the second floor of my high school and said that they had nominated me and two other people to the administration to represent our high school for the Youth in Government Day. Well, I was honored and I was excited. I thought, this is awesome. I get to miss a day of school. So I drove my yellow Ford Escort down to the Legion post and was greeted by a veteran who asked me my name and gave me my name tag. And they sat us with kids from high schools from all over our county. The program began with the national anthem, a color guard, and a few speeches. And I remember I was sitting there with my red suspenders and pants on that were tucked and rolled to expose my sockless ankle and my new K-Swiss shoes, as well as a blue Oxford shirt with a skinny tie. When the speeches began, I listened because I thought, this is going to be really cool. This is a big deal. We had the lieutenant governor there, state senators, assemblymen and women, county executives, aldermen, and our mayor. Now, I realize you're thinking, who remembers this much detail? Well, I do, because that day set me in the direction that was never, ever part of my mental framework. Service. As a result of a few nudges, I found myself somewhere new. As a result of my teachers seeing in me something I did not see in myself, I got to hear a statement that changed my entire framework of what it means to be a citizen. Our mayor stood up on the stage and said thank you to all of the honored and dignitary guests, and he said that every member of the community has the responsibility to serve within that community. Now, I was in a space with a lot of very important people, and I was being very serious, which is not my nature. And I heard those words and thought, well, I better get thinking about what I'm going to do for my community. I decided that day that I was going to get involved in government and the service of others, and then I did. So much power was in that call to serve our community that I renewed that passion just last week. As a result of that day, I went back to school, and on the next day, I thought about what our mayor had said, and years later, those words would nudge me over and over again. Today, at 49 and 11 twelfths, I look back 30 plus years, and I've answered that call. I was the student government president when I was in college. When I was 22, I ran for city council and was elected. And at 23, I was elected council president, the youngest in the state at that point. I worked on campaigns. I worked for politicians. I worked in Madison. I went to Washington. I was all over the place. And I stayed active in government even while I was teaching and leading in schools. And this past week, well, I was elected mayor of my hometown of Port Washington. Why? I was nudged. I was nudged by Deb, John, Joanne, and Kelly, four teachers who saw a kid who liked politics and government and was going to be a college student who was a declared theater major who looked like Andre Agassi. But in my head, every time I was looking at a crossroads, I kept thinking about my teachers and what they believed I'd be good at. Now, if you truly reflect upon life and the power of a nudge, you too will start to think about this. You'll start making connections to why you are the way you are and how we have an obligation to nudge others who are standing at a crossroads, who are struggling, who are lacking confidence, or who are successful but confused. I wanted to be a history professor once I started teaching. I love research and writing, and I thought I could move from teaching to the university level and get my master's degree. But then I was nudged by Dave, my principal, who said, get your master's degree in administration so that you have more options as you go through your teaching career, and you can always get your history degree later. Well, that actually worked out. And Pat, well, she told me that I should consider being a superintendent, and that wasn't on my radar, and, well, that worked out. And Jim told me I should look for a job where I can use all my talents, and guess what? That worked out. All nudges. Not directions I was thinking to go, but other people saw within me. All seeds planted by others that happened to sprout. So here is your challenge this week as a leader. Be intentional in your nudging. Nudging is when you see in others what they may not see themselves, when you help someone with their confidence to take a risk, when you suggest to them what might need to be suggested or said. All of those behaviors by you create courage, confidence, and seed ideas in the minds of others. You have no idea where they're going to go or where they're going to take it, but in the end, it's not up to you anyway. It's up to them. Step one, start to look at people for what they could be and suggest to them they try it. Identify for them what they should do and what they should be taking risks around. Many times, we're just looking for permission from another person so that our fears are extinguished and our confidence fueled. Step two, look for ways to support succession in your world. I never in a million years thought I would be an administrator. But I turned 30, and there I was, an administrator, all as a result of a nudge from Dave. People are looking for others to suggest to them what they could do instead of what they can't do. Succession in an organization only occurs if you're intentional about it. It only occurs if you say, hey, I think you should consider. Have you ever thought of? I think you'd be great at 1, 2, 3, or 4, whatever they are. When you encourage people to move into or up in the world, they think about it, and it seeds with them. Step three. Now, this is a powerful one, but invite people to leave. This one nudge is a nudge of courage. When people are stuck, negative, toxic, we need to nudge them as well. I remember the first time I had unfortunately had to let someone go. I stayed up for nights worrying about it, feeling horrible about what would happen to this person, and when the day finally came and I carried out the termination, I was shocked by the response of the person when they came back to my office a couple of days later. They thanked me. They thanked me for shaking up their world. They had recognized in the days and years prior that they were in need of someone to have a difficult conversation with them, that they were struggling, and as a result, they were not passionate about what they needed to do, and they needed to be nudged. I learned early on that positive and negative people need a nudge. Sometimes you need to encourage them to both move up in your organization, and sometimes you need to invite them to leave. Both nudges and both positive for your world. So this week, as you are going through your days, remember that a leader is anyone who has influence over another person, and nudging is significant influence. Nudging causes shifts in motivation and purpose and outcomes and lifestyles and engagement and in happiness. The power of your words when they fall upon someone you know or don't know will never be realized by you. And that's the point. The point is that you are present and intentional and you are supporting others. That you don't have bad days, but bad moments so that you can recover quick and be your best in the moments that people need you. Because you should always be looking to nudge someone into the next best part of their life. So let's do some smart thinking. List people in your life that have nudged you. And describe how it feels when you realize success as a result of the encouragement of others. And finally, list ways you can be intentional in nudging. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Hey, as always, thank you for listening, and please share this on your social media platform and rate it as well. Thank you to the Well Pennies for their great music, and I heard that they have a new album coming out in the near future, but what's exciting is they're putting it on vinyl. Oh, that's going to be awesome. Now, as we head out, nudging came to mind for me last week when I was sitting at a restaurant waiting for the results of the local and state elections. As I nervously waited for the results of our campaign and the months of talking to people running out our strategy and developing a platform, I kept thinking, how did I get here? And then it hit me. My mayor, when I was in high school, and his words that a member of our community is responsible for serving that same community. As I was surrounded by friends and family, I kept thinking that this service business is nerve-wracking. And then the results came in. I was on the phone when the room erupted and my friends were shaking me and hugging each other. We had done it. And when I gave that thank you speech, I thought of three nudges. My teachers, Mr. Tauscher, my mayor in 1988, and that speech teacher gave me a C-. My teachers who nudged me into Youth and Government Day and are supportive to this day. My mayor who sent out a calling of service that I answered, and my speech teacher who barely passed me because, as she said to me, Theodore, I have seen you act on the stage and you can do much better in preparation for your speeches. All nudges, two positives and one elbow, all made me who I am. So this week, be both for all around you. Be positive and critical. Propel people to their potential with a nudge and realign others with honesty and candor. We all need a nudge, and sometimes it's a gentle arm around our shoulders to get us thinking differently and positively, and sometimes it's with the sharpness of an elbow to allow us to wake up and move forward. Either way, we're Buffalo, and we charge into our opportunities. We don't wait, we run. So use your optimism and influence this week to move people to where they could go and where they need to go.
There you go, tapping at my window. There you go, rattling my heart. Far away, I wanna go with you. Every day, never be apart. Whistling a song. Close your eyes, I'll dream away with you. Lullabies humming right along. When you feel the lonely, when the stars are dim, I will love you only, love you to the end. The world. sunshine. Need a little sunshine.